For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Sapp, Drew Nixon with you. Hope to see you guys on Thursday night at the Landing in Liberty for our draft party. A chance to win $965 plus a Juwan Taylor autographed helmet. If you can figure out what the heck is going to happen in this draft, specifically, it might come down to the teens, right? 10 to 20 might make or break your draft board from the chance at winning $965 or not, because there's some trickiness maybe in the top five or so, but those picks you can maybe figure out. Once it gets from like 10 to 20, it could be thrown off because you're getting points for picking the player and the right pick and the right team. So you might have had it nailed that so-and-so's going 17th, but if there's a trade, all of a sudden you got the wrong team, and then you end up not getting as many points as you thought. So I hope to see you guys at the Landing in Liberty.
I know on Thursday we'll make our predictions for who we think the Chiefs actually take at pick 31, if they trade up, trade down, what selection we think will take place as we get close to the draft. As you mentioned, this Thursday is the Chiefs pick at the end of the first round once again. I think that's being used too much of as a crutch for Brett Veach. I think it's the only, it's like a constant, like lived, like built-in excuse for his lack of finding star players. I'm not saying he's a bad drafter, because I think that that would be overly harsh and unnecessarily harsh based on what he's done. But if there is something that Brett Veach needs to do better, it is in finding more top-end level talent players in the draft, depending on the spot. I understand it's harder to find in the first round because you're picking at 31, not picking at 10. But people find star players in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds all the time. Puka Nacua was a fifth-round pick. We had mentioned previous guys in the Chiefs' history, including Chris Jones in the second, or Justin Houston, or a million other players we can kind of go through that cycle of that are found in those rounds. And at this point, his best draft pick is probably Trent McDuffie.
No doubt.
Second is either Trey Smith or Creed Humphrey, depending on if you value where they took the player versus production versus just level of player. If it's just level of player, I think it's probably Creed Humphrey as second. If it's value to level of player, it's probably Trey Smith. He finds plenty of starters, guys who stick around for 4 years, 5 years. It's just not a bad thing, but he does need to find more stars. I don't think that that's crazy. Why is it crazy to be like, find more star players?
The way he's drafted is why the dynasty exists. It's why it exists. It's why it's been prolonged. It's why they were going for a three-peat. Sure. Well, some of the names you mentioned, I'd like a Puka Nacua as well, Cody.
I would have liked that as well.
What you mentioned, I think, are a couple outliers, though. You're like, oh, there's some guys that were drafted in the fifth round or whatever. Like, sure, they're... It happens every year, every couple years, where there are diamonds in the rough that turn out to be star players. No doubt. But I would argue that I think you're specifically talking about skill position.
You're
talking about skill position, because I would push back on they haven't found high-end star. Creed Humphrey, best center in football. Yeah. Trey Smith, one of the best right guards, about to become the highest paid left guard, or right guard period, I guess, in football. Right, George Karlaftis, he's not a star, but he is becoming one of the better edge rushers in the league. Trent McDuffie, top three corner in the NFL. And you gave him credit for that when I heard you.
Yeah, Trent McDuffie's a star player. He's one of the best corners in the league. league.
Rashee Rice, we are going to find out more. I mean, he potentially last year with the start of the season prior to the injury, I mean, heck, I think you thought he was going to be a 1,200-yard wide receiver. So we're going to find out this year on him. I get what you're saying.
It's six full drafts, not a small sample size anymore either.
I know you think it's an excuse, but I do. If you're drafting 28 to 32, you can't tell me your job at finding said star skill position player is not tougher than just about everybody else in the league. So, I just think it is. So yes, I would love for this year's draft if they went out and they found the next top five running back in the NFL with their second round pick and a third round pick, and it's a running back. I would love for that to be the case, but if they draft a running back in the third round and he turns out to be like the 8th to 12th best running back, they end up drafting a defensive tackle that ends up being a top 15 defensive tackle, that potentially could end up being even more beneficial for them. It's why they have gone on the run that they've had, not because they drafted one player and busted out all the other ones. They have drafted multiple players that have been starters. We even acknowledged last week, this year's draft is more of a starter draft, maybe not a star draft. Look at the top end. Even if you had a top 10 pick this year, I'd be a little nervous.
I don't want to get stuck into the semantics argument because the text line 816, come on, Patrick is the reason for the dynasty.
Yeah,
not technically his draft pick. I'm not saying he had, I think that this is like where we should live in a world of gray and that people don't want to. If we're talking about draft pick of record, it's not his draft pick. That belongs to John Dorsey. If we were talking, do I understand that he had a major factor in helping them come to the decision to draft Patrick Mahomes? Of course. But if John Dorsey just hated Patrick Mahomes, he wouldn't have taken him. It wouldn't matter how much Brett Veach banged the table for it. So it's
my
like,
point
it's
about
stuck.
Veach and the dynasty being is the prolonged. The prolonged years of success, the way they have drafted is why they were going for a three-peat. No kidding. If they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, duh, they would not be going for a three-peat last year. Obviously, I think we all are understanding they have the best quarterback in the league. That is why they have the rings that they have along with Andy Reid. No kidding.
Sure.
But the prolonged success since Patrick Mahomes become the starter, why they have consistently been that is also because they have drafted starter-level talent over the years, and you have to be able to do that prolonged because you can't just go and find starters and overpay in free agency every single
year.
Maybe
they're just not taking big enough swings. Maybe that's what's led to this, like, hey, we do okay, but we're not taking the chance, guys. And here's the truth. You are right. The prolonged dynasty is related to the ability to find starters. The reason why they can win championships is the stars, and the stars were all taken not at pick 31. Chris Jones was picked in the second round. Travis Kelce was taken in the third round. I'm not saying find Travis Kelce. I'm not just saying, the truth is, you do still have to find Hall of Famers, too. Like, that is part of the job, whether you like it or not. I'm not saying it has to be every year, but he is six full years into this, and at this point, he has found none that we know for sure, but look, McDuffie would have a chance based on the start of his career. Creed would have a chance based on the start. Those guys are not ruled out for that. They're not the people 3 years in the league that were like, well, that's a Hall of Famer. Although I'm not saying you would have thought that about Travis Kelce. 3 years into his career, that's a pretty early start. So I'm not saying that there's not still time left on it, but I think that's part of the reason I'm feeling more of that pressure now, is that the dynasty has been propped up by the three-headed monster of Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, and Patrick Mahomes, none of which he drafted. And I'm not saying, again, he didn't have any factor. He was a part of the organization for some of those decisions, not all, but some of those decisions. But like, he didn't take any of the, like, the Mount Rushmore of why they're the greatest team in the NFL. Those aren't on his books. Well, and at some point, those do have to become a part of it.
As time goes on, that'll be a fair criticism or how the dynasty continues or does not. That is a really post-2025 question. That is a starting in 2026. Go through this roster. Look how many guys are on one-year deals. Like, a huge chunk of guys are on one-year deals, especially on defense, on the defensive line. A lot of guys are, we can go through one by one. Hollywood Brown, one-year deal. Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, all expiring contracts, right? The defensive line, Charles Omeniu, expiring contract after this year. Mike Dan, I believe, expiring contract after this year.
He technically has a year after it, but it's like a dead
dummy year. Okay.
They could bring him back, but like the cost benefit doesn't necessarily.
So I guess what I'm saying, what you're asking them to do, he will have to do that as time goes on for them to still be where they currently are. I don't think, like, right this second it is the...
I'm saying this year might be the year needs to
it
start.
It could, because and that's how they could draft a lot for the future, more so than even immediate impact guys. Whether we're talking about trading up for a Josh Simmons type, that would be a 2026 and beyond draft pick, not a 2025 draft pick. There's a few players like that. But I think in 2026 is when there could be a complete shift of, you mentioned the core that has got them there. That's when the big shift could change. And the pieces other than Mahomes that we talk about, that could be what they have to fill and figure out going forward. But for this upcoming year, that's why the draft is really interesting. Are they going to draft for impact guys in 2025? Or are they willing to take a couple high picks that maybe don't do much in 2025, but it sets them up for the next, you know, era, if you will, of Chiefs football?
I just kind of go through and, like, I think quarterback, this is why I feel like I expect your hit rate to be better. Other teams are having to do this while actively looking for a quarterback. You never have to do that, right? So, like, as much as you're
those
right,
other teams are winning rings.
No, yeah. But he has to pick at 31. He gets a whole extra pick that a third of the league doesn't get every year, right? He gets an extra, you know, like, wow. He gets more, but he does. Yeah. Like, not every team. I said a third of the league. I understand that, like, the Cincinnati.
I mean, there's
and
three
Buffalo
quarterbacks. There's probably three quarterbacks that are going in the first round this year.
I guess part of it is, and look, maybe it's not just skill position, because Rashee Rice very well into could be. I'll admit, Rashee Rice is the biggest unknown to all of this, because if he comes back from the injury and whatever, and he is that like 1,300 yard receiver guy, let's say Rashee Rice doesn't turn into that, but Xavier Worthy does. Way too early to know on either of those guys if the kind of player I'm describing is in there. But, like, I think sometimes it just gets, I think it's easier to find a Myles Garrett if you're just picking in the top 10. But I bet if we went through the top 15 sack guys from last year, my guess is that half of them are in the top 10, but the other half are guys taken in the sometime after pick 31. Either around pick 30 or after. Because I know, like, TJ Watt, I don't remember where Nick Benito was taken. Was he a first-round pick? Anybody remember he was taken? Because he was one of the top sack guys last year. Sure. I feel like I'd remember. Because, like, the top 10 guys, you almost never forget those, right? We all kind of know where those guys got taken in the draft. So my guess is that he was not picked there. He might have been picked in the first round. I just can't remember exactly where he was taken. But, like, I think those guys can be found. I'm just like, I think part of it is gold more about the idea that I do think it needs to start now, right? Like, now's your time to go find a star or two. And if this is the starter draft, maybe not this year, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this might be a tough year for that, but you do have to have that ability sometimes. Like, even the Bengals, who were terrible drafting, you know, you find Trey Hendrickson's of the world. He's a star player. What was he, a third?
I think
he was signed in free agency.
I think there's a lot more examples of those. You make it sound like just one guy, but I would say.
Yeah, but I think you make it sound like there's 10 of them every year. I think there's a balance between what we both are saying here, like, which is normally what happens, right, in any conversation that we have. Like, I think, like, you mentioned Trey Hendrickson. Like, that is so. That's the one that stands out for them.
TJ Watt is probably the one who.
I just mean in general. Like, if I was in another city having the same conversation, I would say, well, the Chiefs found Trent McDuffie. How come we can't find a Trent McDuffie? And then you're telling me, well, the Bengals found Trey Hendrickson. Why can't the Chiefs find Trey Hendrickson? My point is, I can do that for every team. I can be, if we were doing sports talk radio in Denver today, I can pinpoint another team. Like, the Denver Broncos are looking for their star tight end. Well, the Chiefs found Travis Kelce in the third round. How come we can't find Travis Kelce? I'm just saying, we can play that game, I think, in every single market, asking why this franchise found that one player. Like, find me the team that over the last 5 years, maybe the Eagles are the only example, where they found, you're telling me they need to find Hall of Famers, where they found over the last 6 years, five Hall of Famers or three Hall of Famers. That doesn't exist.
No, and again, that is not a number I would ever assign to it.
Yeah.
But you do have to find a Hall of Famer. Like, that's the job. Whether you like it or not, whether the Chiefs like it or not, that the job is that he's done it 6 years. 6 years in, you should have found a Hall of Famer by now. I'm not saying you should have found three or four or 10.
But understand why that sounds silly in the moment, right? Like, I think long term, it does. You're right that the core already existed, so that's why they've been able to. They've just drafted starters. Yeah. The reason why it sounds silly is because you're saying you have to find one, and he hasn't in the last 6 years. And I'm saying, what was the consequence of not? Did he have to find it? They've won three rings. Did he have to find it?
But I'm saying, but part of the reason I think that it just depends on how you value it. I think that they needed the things that they've done because of the starters.
Right, and we'll
find
out.
They do not win it without the three Hall of Famers they have right now.
Sure, I mean,
Hall of Famers.
The Patriots didn't win theirs without a couple. The Chiefs have done it with those. That is the next era of the Chiefs regime. We'll find out, and that's what I'm saying. Like, from 2026 and beyond, we're going to find out who are those star players. If they do not have star players, I still don't think we need to put on the Hall of Fame level. But if they do not find star players, then sure, that's a problem we'll be talking about for the next 5 years. But I don't think it's as easy as we are. As we are maybe making it seem, especially when you are, Cody, drafting 28 to 32 just about every single year, man.
I mean, I get it, but, like, at this point, you still get shots. It's not that no Hall of Fame talents are found after that, I guess is the point. And if you're picking there every year, odds are you are the team that finds a player at 31 sometimes that eventually goes on to do that. And look, maybe some of this frustration is they got a real mixed bag in first round picks. You know, Felix not working out right now. Xavier Worthy did in the early going, but we still got to see growth to know if it's like gangbusters, right? We don't know. Too early. They didn't have first round picks a couple of times. Like that first year is always a throwaway year. I don't care what he did in his first year drafting. They didn't even have a first round pick because they went for Patrick Mahomes the year before. Mixed bag of nonsense. They were picking high-ish, but not that high. Like it's all kind of a mix. But we got to see where it goes. Meanwhile, like you mentioned on the Royals, the offense stinks, but you're really happy. I'm good. You're really happy with one thing the Royals have done this entire stretch.
Carlos Estevez.
Is it more than one, or is it just that one?
I mean, that's the biggest. I mean, the whole rotation's been pretty darn good. Chris Bubich, who's pitching tomorrow night, has been terrific for them. But they have a legit closer. They have a legit closer that you know if you can get into the later innings starting pitching, or if Urseg, luckily they caught a break, it looks like, with the ball off his foot or back foot, back of his ankle. That would kind of come in way worse.
Yeah.
You get it to him, and then Urseg into Carlos, you feel like you got a guy that locks the game down. It has probably been since maybe Ian Kennedy, probably the last name that comes to mind immediately, where you just felt like you give him the ball as a closer and it's done. It's taken care of. Yesterday, he gave you two innings, had a quick ninth, then comes out, works around some trouble in the 10th inning, ends up actually getting a win. For a team that has nine wins, he's got one of the nine wins credited to him, and he's got five saves. That's pretty damn impressive, Cody. The team's won nine and he's got a win to his name and five saves. That's pretty darn good. You know, he talked to Vern after one of those saves, I don't know, probably now 2 weeks ago, and he was not 100% in spring training. I think we're starting to see him actually get better and better because he wasn't a full go throughout spring. And so now I think we're starting to even see the best of Carlos going forward. They have a legit closer. Like, go across baseball. Right now, I know Emmanuel Clase is struggling in Cleveland. He's been kind of the AL reliever.
Yeah, he's been kind of to this. Up to that point,
but Carlos, and look, Carlos is going to have plenty of save opportunities, I still think, despite everybody thinking the season is over already. So the way he's pitching right now is going to come up massive for them if they're going to get this thing corrected in these tight margin games. And, you know, hopefully tomorrow there's another opportunity for him to get a save against the Colorado Rockies and pick up another one. But he was awesome yesterday, and he's been doing that.
This is a lot what we've talked about with JJ Piccolo before, which is, if your single biggest free agent signing is going to be Carlos Estevez, right? You don't give it to Santander.
Yeah.
You don't give it to Profar, two guys I'm glad they did not give the money to as of this second. But like, if you're not going to give it to those guys, then the single biggest signing you make this offseason better work, because especially when the offense isn't going to work, and he's working great. It's been perfect. He's pitched. I mean, he's given up what? One run in all of his outings. He's blown, I think, a save. And they still, I think, that was in the early, that might have been the first week of the season, like you pointed out, where he was putting a few more guys on base and making it a little dicier. He's been nearly perfect. And then it allows you to use Urseg in the way you and I want them to use Urseg anyway. I don't care if it's the fifth inning, the sixth inning, the eighth inning. I just want you to use Urseg if there are people on base and the game might be lost. That's when I want you to use him. A guy who can throw 100 miles an hour, I want the biggest strikeout guy in the biggest moment. And then when the ninth kicks around, that's when I want you to hand things off to Estevez. The Harvey part is where it's interesting, because if he comes back and looks like he did in the early part of the season, well, then they might have one of the best back end of the bullpens in the league.
They probably need him back, though, for...
Yeah, Lynch is good. Lynch has been very good,
though. To be flat-out dominant, Harvey probably needs to be back in the mix, though. Because we all know, like, Urseg and Estevez are not going to be available every night.
I'm just looking back through, and yeah, I can't even find... I mean, other than maybe the walks would be my only complaint out of Estevez. It's not even that bad. That's all there is left to complain about. And part of it is just at 32 years old, I'm always concerned. This is part of the reason I was fearful of it. He's obviously been a very good closer. It's opportunities now. Now it's your job as a team. I'm pretty sure you got the last nine outs covered when Harvey's back.
Yeah.
Maybe the last 12. Because I'm not sure, like, it's not going to take me much longer before I believe that Daniel Lynch deserves to be a full part of that conversation. He's given up one run himself, and he's pitched more innings than Estevez. Not more high leverage innings. Mm-hmm. That's an important note. Definitely not more of that, but just more innings in total. At some point, if you got the last 9 to 12 outs, all I'm asking you to do is to score four runs before the sixth. And I know that's asking a lot right now, because they've scored four runs or more, I don't know, 10 times this year or whatever, mm-hmm. maybe. And that, I don't know. That's
tight. Aren't they like 7-1 in games where they score four or more? Something like that.
That sounds right. Yeah. I mean, they've scored more than four twice, man. Both of those were like I don't know, 3 weeks ago and like the first week of the season against the Brewers. So they need offense in order for this to work. But yeah, Estevez has been a perfect signing. Canna, that signing looks, that trade actually, they just completed that into the trade. If you want to know the player to be named later, it's out there. Never heard of him. His name's Carlos Espinal. He's an 18-year-old in the Dominican Summer League. I hope he doesn't turn into a Cy Young Award winner. That's pretty much what you're hoping for out of the player to be named later. But the, once again, JJ strength gold, we've said are two things. It might not be like the players he has announced. It might not be, MJ Melendez. It might not be some of that. But he is good at finding free agents that help their baseball team and trades that help their baseball team. And, you know, like if he can figure out the draft part of it, then we'd really be cooking.
All right, so this is a new trend, I guess, I was not aware of.
Okay.
On the dating apps, something called hatfished. Not catfish, hatfished. We've all heard of catfish, but...
What, you think the ladies aren't looking through this? I already know where this is going.
So, hatfished. Apparently, hatfishing occurs when someone wears a hat to conceal the fact that they're more or less balding. This practice is often used in photos on dating apps. The term appeared, I guess this goes way back, but it's coming to light even more. There was a new article on this over the weekend. And it sounds like it's basically that simple, that people are, guys in particular, are wearing hats or hoodies covering their hair so that people can't tell that they are balding or losing their hair. So the American Hair Loss Association estimates 2 out of every 3 men will start to lose at least some of their hair by the time they're 35.
This is
a thing. Now, I don't wear hats anyway, so I'm definitely not wearing a hat on a dating profile pic, because you guys know I've been doing the show with you, Cody,
for
6 years.
Well, you're not now, but who knows, right?
I mean, down the road, if I had to.
You've said before that you might, like, if you're...
On my mom's side of the family, it's not good. It doesn't look good for me on my mom's side.
How are you feeling about it? Your hair looks okay.
So, no joke, went to get a haircut a week ago.
Oh, no.
This is a week...
Did she make a comment?
This is... Yes. So, a week ago... Or 2 weeks ago, you guys know I had the back issue.
Yeah.
Back's,
how's that doing?
90%. It still tightens up if I'm sitting in the chair for a while. But it's so much better, okay? I'm back at the gym. We're good. So that happens, and I was like, oh, man, I'm getting old moment. Like, this is pathetic. Then I get my haircut. Two Fridays ago? Last Friday? I don't know. At the end of the haircut, lady that cuts my hair says, hey, you know, starting to see some thinning.
Ooh! Ooh!
I said, what? I said, really? And she pointed out where. I was like, oh, shoot. Then I reminded myself, my mom's side of the family, it's not good. My dad's got a full head of hair still. And he's in his 70s. Mom's side, her parents, her grandparents, not good for me. Not good for me when it comes to that.
So,
and that's where I'll
is
get
that true?
It. That's where, yeah, you get it from the...
is that true? That's something I've heard.
Side. You get it from the maternal side,
yes,
is that right?
I think that's true.
Anyway, so yeah, to answer your question... That might be a problem down the road. There's things you can do to prevent that from being real problematic. You can get a head start, which is what I'm going to try to do.
Would you go to Turkey for a hair transplant?
I'm not going to go to Turkey, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I don't go bald. Absolutely.
Wow. So you're willing to take any step necessary in order to keep a full head of hair.
I'm not going bald. No. Not doing it. Not going to have just the side on the hair. Nope. That's not happening.
So you'd say you'd go as far as hair transplant?
Yes. Absolutely.
Man, that is... Woo.
Not going bald.
I want to go back to the original point of trash today.
Yeah, the hat fishing thing.
What purpose does that do? Because, look, if you do a great job of not revealing it for a couple months, you actually start dating and everything is great. And then it's like, hey, I've got... You know, you take a hat off accidentally. Like, you get home, you just take the hat off naturally, pop it on the counter, whatever it is. And then she's like, hang on a second. She says your name and it's like, gold, is this really you? It's like, yeah, what do you mean? It's like, oh, this
the
is not
the
person
app problem
you
is
present yourself
to be. I think that's what everyone does on
the dating
apps, though. I don't think men
problem.
Are doing anything. I'm sorry. You're just not looking
women
through.
On the app
if
that,
every single yeah. photo of his is in a hat, you know. You know.
Yeah. I think
you
this
know
is
what you're looking you at. This is not a mystery.
I guess men are doing this, but on the other side, you're right. Like, if you go right now, if we were to log onto a dating app, there are plenty of, whether it's Photoshopped, you know, a little touched up, or
oh,
just
yeah,
old,
sure.
you know, the photos, there's sometimes where you can't, you know, was that photo from 3 years ago, or is that from this weekend?
Yeah.
You look way different. It's not even full-on catfish, but it's misleading, to say, to be nice. And then sometimes you get the photos where it's like her and three of her friends for the first three photos. You're like, which one are you?
Yes.
Which one are you? You're running that. So, yeah, this goes all the way around.
First photo's got to be a you. I'm not saying you can't have photos of you with your friends.
I agree.
First photo's got to be you.
Somebody has a suggestion, Gold, from the 913. Just grow a thick beard.
I can do that.
Anything.
I can do that. That's the thing. No problem.
I can't believe you
beard.
Said hair transplant. That is like, look, well, if you want to take some,
that's,
like,
that's like
you
want to
take a supplement thing, we're, you know, it's like, a lot of people do that.
That's the extreme. You asked, like, would I, if it got that bad, if there was no hair left except for on the side.
But what if it was just, like, a little thin in some spots and you could style it in a way where it looked okay? Well, you know?
You can do some treatments to fix that. Yeah. I'm all on board if it gets to that point. I'm 34.
If I go bald, I go bald. It just is what it is.
Lady was kind of my hair. She's like, hey, just a heads up. This is, you know, just a heads up.
You are Cody, you're vehemently against Gold having a transplant, it sounds like.
I believe in Gold wants, you know, like, Gold. I'm not against it. I was surprised. I don't care. People can do whatever they want.
Here's the difference. It depends where I'm at in life. Cody can easily say, oh, whatever happens. He's already married. He's got kids. It doesn't matter. He's like, what's the point? For me, if I'm 39 in 5 years and I actually really am losing hair, if that happens, and I'm single still, that's
still
way
height.
More. That's still
height helps in the dating game. Sure, it's not bad.
I appreciate that, Cody. But like,
that's not going anywhere.
It's not. So I'm just saying, that's what's going on dating apps. Apparently, hats. I don't wear hats. I just don't. A plus body type with well proportioned frame and premium length.
That's it. Again, there's a way to style it. If I go bald, I think it'll be up here. But my hair's just, like, not thick in texture, never has been. But it's all there. I don't know.
It's just thin anyway?
Yeah. Does it make sense? Like, it was never a thick, textured hair.
Is your grandpa on your mom's side?
Well, maybe he's been dead a long time.
Did he have a full head of hair when he was older?
Yeah. He did.
Well, then you're good. For whatever that's worth, he had a full head of hair. Then you should be good.
Yeah.
Then you should be good. Because, yeah, my dad has a full head of hair.
That doesn't seem to be the issue.
Yeah. All right.
That's the easier place to hide it, too.
True. All right, up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. The latest mock draft that's out there, and it leads us into a conversation about a trade involving a current player. We'll explain that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
That's right, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get into some trade scenarios in just a bit. And the reason why we're going to get in some trade scenarios is because I'm told we got a special mock draft. That's right. That's right.
Wow,
it's draft week.
Just straight
to start
in.
Things off, boys.
Right into the Chiefs Red Half Hour with a mock draft.
Immediately.
Is it a seven rounder? They actually went out 10 rounds. They want to include undrafted free agents in this one, probably.
I've never seen that before. That would be bold.
That's the next step, dude.
It is
a seven rounder.
It is a seven rounder from Pro Football Network.
Okay.
This is an interesting one, though, because I think it's something that's totally new. We have not seen it at all whatsoever. I don't even think we had a mock draft last year that had anything like this. So here we go. It does start off with the Chiefs at 31 taking an offensive lineman.
Ugh.
Josh Connerly
Simmons?
Jr.
Oh, Connerly.
From
that's
Oregon. He's been rising throughout the process, viewed as a round one tackle across the board.
Is it weird that I heard no buzz? No. You see, other than the mock drafts, have you seen a single draft expert try to connect Josh Connerly to the Chiefs? Because I haven't.
I think we've seen
just
it once
these like
or twice
random
early
mocks that think that they're taking offensive linemen.
Yeah, I mean some legitimate mock drafts. I wouldn't say it's like just a random guy. I mean this site that for this was like a legitimate site that does draft coverage.
It was
coverage,
more earlier on, I think, when he was mocked to them because I think they say he's round one, but I think he's
Josh Simmons goes at 34.
I was going to say we've seen him going.
Now that's surprising.
Further on back in the list. It is interesting as well. The Bills traded back again in this draft. The Browns, right before the Chiefs pick, take Jackson Dart.
They did what I was talking about with Hunter and then trade back in.
Okay. Continuing with the Chiefs, it's not until the fourth round where we get into what I was talking about. But later on in the second round, of course, with pick 63, Pro Football Network has the Chiefs taking Alfred Collins, defensive tackle out of Texas. I think this is one of the also good comps or the fun draft profiles.
Yes. That's where
Mitch Holtis was talking up Alfred Collins to us today, randomly in the hallway.
Alfred Collins is where this came from. A-plus body type with well-proportioned frame and premium length. That's where that came from.
6'6", 332. The crazy thing about this, Gold, your boy, gets picked right after him. James Pierce Jr., 64 to the Eagles.
That's Luther tough. Burden goes That's 47 tough. In That's this tough. Mock. 47.
That's tough. You're telling me James Pierce Jr. was on the board?
Yes.
And I think he's going. I think he's going to be there at 31 on Thursday. She's whether or not the Chiefs like him or not. Like, I don't think he's.
He seems to be falling back.
He's more there at 63.
Yeah. That seems a little much. Unless
Luther Burden went 47.
Unless the character concern thing is a problem, right? Because the Commanders are picking 28th, right? Or 29th. I'm sorry. I think 29th.
Ninth, yes.
Okay. They're picking 29th. They are going to draft an edge rusher. The Commanders
are. Their biggest need, probably.
And so that's where. Some of the names that we're talking about for the Chiefs, like they could be trying to get the same player, Nick Scorden, James Pierce Jr. So you have a team two spots in front of you that is trying to basically potentially get the same type of player, unless the Chiefs all along have been not toying with us, but they were just dead set. We're drafting an offensive tackle no matter what. We don't care if it's Simmons. We don't care if it's Connerly or the other kid out of Minnesota, out of Ruskin Heights here,
Ursary.
So round three, of course, they have two picks. 66, Xavier Watts, safety out of Notre Dame. The reason
they drafted a Watts at safety, it stunk. RIP, not RIP.
As a
player. Jeez. Armani Watts didn't work out. Xavier Watts, any good?
Xavier Watts in the third round is surprising. He is a ball hawk. He is one of the best guys in terms of picking off players. I think he led. I don't know if he was the top of college football, but over the last 2 years, he's one of the highest intercepting players. He totaled the highest number of interceptions. I think he had 12 of them in the last 2 years.
Set a school record, 100-yard interception return. Yeah, tied for second in FBS with 6 interceptions.
He's very good.
This is another one of those. I go on Lance Zierlein's draft profile, and they do comps, right? They compare him to Malik Hooker, and they talk about rare instincts, create on-ball production. All this is good. It's another one where it lists a family note. Oh. Why some of these
what's this family now?
This one's another sad one. I think the ones where it mentions their parents being like a top tier athlete, I get why you would
like
that.
Hey, pedigree, Olympic level athlete.
This one's terrible. Another one. It says again, why is it relevant? It says father Jeff was a victim of a drive-by shooting in 03.
Why are you telling me that?
Paralyzed from the waist down. Why is that a note on the draft profile?
I don't know.
Why?
I mean,
that's awful.
It's a very good question. Pick 95, Cam Scadaboo.
Back to the running back. Neither of us want.
Yeah, I was gonna say a lot. He's a fan favorite because the dude's got ridiculous vision and playmaking ability, but he doesn't have speed. That's like the number one thing that he doesn't have. If he had speed, he'd be a first round pick. I don't think.
This is why he's not on the Cody and Gold list.
Correct. He doesn't have that high end speed.
He's off my board. You know. Too slow.
Off the board entirely.
He's off my board.
Grueling physicality is the way that really was described. This is the interesting thing, guys, though.
All right.
So we get into the fourth round. The Chiefs have pick 133, or you would think in this trade, the Pittsburgh Steelers get pick 133 and the Chiefs get George Pickens.
What?
Wow, everybody will be happy that complained for 2 years that they didn't draft him.
I did want them to draft George Pickens, but he is now a known problem child. Now, in fact,
I am so out on this.
You won't take on a headache for a fourth round pick? I'll take on the headache for a fourth.
No, did you
I'm not
guys,
giving him a second, but I'll take on the headache for a fourth.
Did we just
all the headaches, I don't care.
Did we just not acknowledge what we saw when the Chiefs played them? Did we all just forget what happened in December?
Oh, I'm very aware.
He was taking plays off and pouting, and I would have
I remember all that.
Basically just forgot about that entirely. If you're calling for a trade, I would have made sure he wasn't on my football team. The minute I saw that, I would have said, you're done playing for the afternoon. Thank you very much. We're done. He's pouting. Give me a break. No, I'm absolutely not. We all know he has talent. No. And don't give me this. Well, under Andy Reid wouldn't have tolerated. BS. Mike Tomlin's also a hard ass. He lets that happen. So no, George Pickens trade out entirely. Done.
For a fourth, I would do it in a second.
You would?
In a second. First, no, I do not think he would just be no problems here. I don't think he would just mind his P's and Q's.
I think it's why they didn't draft him the first time when they had a chance.
I'm not even claiming that, but the Chiefs take more problem child kids than just about any other team.
Sure, but it's the same regime that could have drafted him, and a lot of people believe they didn't draft him because of what we're seeing happen.
I will say, the Chiefs do prefer off-the-field issues to on-the-field issues. They'll take on all the water in the world if you're getting in trouble that has nothing to do with football. But the second you start becoming a problem football player, that is where they typically draw a little more of a firm line, in my opinion, based on the players they have targeted or gone after before. Getting some trouble off the field, we'll look the other way. Getting some trouble on the field is in, like, Marcus Peters, right? You start, like, getting into it with fans or taking plays off. They tend to boot you a little faster.
So you want to give up a fourth-round pick for...
Fourth-round pick
for problem child George Pickens, and then he's done after this year. He's a free agent.
So
1 year, fourth-round pick. Hope he doesn't just pout all season long because he's not getting the ball enough for Patrick Mahomes. And then... Or you're telling me you want to give him an extension, which is even more terrifying.
That is a terrifying proposition. It's a fourth-round pick. It's for 1 year. They gave up a fifth for DeAndre Hopkins. It could have been a fourth. This is a far younger, more talented player.
Sure.
As it sits right now.
He's not a mess, though.
And look, here's the truth.
D-Hop wasn't getting the ball. Did we hear stories about him pouting? I promise you, if the same thing happened where the Chiefs traded for Pickens and he just suddenly was not part of the offense for a couple weeks, we'd all hear about it.
I'm envisioning a world in which they take the running back I want.
Okay.
And then it is Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, George Pickens, and Travis Kelce. And my thought process is that is an unstoppable offense with Patrick Mahomes.
I'm out.
That cannot be. That's the number one offense in the league immediately. In my opinion. And so like
George
that part's
Pickens.
Too tempting.
I mean, George Pickens, you said something that I know. You know why I know why you like Pickens?
I liked him coming out of the draft in my defense.
Well, that's why. You also said something 6 days ago on this show. And this is exactly what George Pickens is.
I am not a professional.
That is George Pickens. Not a professional. He's just not. Drew, do you like the trade? It sounds like you might be interested in it.
Oh, no, I know. I was excited to bring this up because I was really intrigued to see what you guys would say.
I didn't know this was in this mock draft.
People on the text line might say because of all this. Should they trade for George Pickens at the deadline? That was always that was a conversation that we had. I mean, them actually pulling this off would be interesting. It'd be some theater, I think, for sure.
Oh, it definitely would be interesting. And based on how differing our opinions are on the trade, it could be fascinating to watch
in 2025. If that actually happened, it would be fascinating
to see.
That would
be a fun watch.
It'd be fascinating to see the one time where George Pickens doesn't get thrown the ball because he's not as open as he thinks he is, and he gets pissed at Mahomes on the sideline. Just to see it would be fascinating.
Now, I will say, if they did it, I would be rooting for it to work, obviously, and I would hope it works, but we all saw the warning signs. Don't come here whining about it in week 5.
You did mention, though, one thing where, like, Tomlin couldn't keep him in check. The one hard thing I'll say that is a big difference between the scenarios is that they have Andy, so let's just call him and Tomlin a wash in the keeping players, mining. But, like, it's even harder for Tomlin to keep him in line when his quarterback is like Kenny Pickett and these guys that have no presence.
Mason Rudolph.
Zero presence at quarterback. None, right? No clout, no juice, just a bunch of Jags, including Russell Wilson by the time he got there too. So like at least Mahomes would be like, I got some clout to be like, yo, man, you weren't open. I don't know what to tell you.
I hear you. I think it's a fair point. But typically, we have seen enough. Typically, with players with the attitude like George Pickens, they don't suddenly just have an epiphany and like, you know what? I'm just a totally different person now. It usually doesn't work that way. So I don't know. That's fascinating. Okay.
I mean, I would. Yeah.
As soon as I saw this, I was like, "This is the one we're doing today. This is
definitely." I mean, there's just no way in which it would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue that.
He'll make some great catches. I don't deny that. It's just like Drew said, you know. What happens when he goes a couple weeks without a big game, without a big catch?
Give us the speed round version of the 6th and 7th. We don't need to spend a lot of time on him because I want to ask a follow-up.
They don't have a pick in the 6th round. They
got 3 and 7.
That's pretty easy to get by. They take Brandon George, linebacker from Pitt.
All right, never heard of him.
At 226. they also take further down LaJonte Webster, wide receiver out of Colorado, at 251. And then Mr. Irrelevant is Mose Vavau, offensive lineman from Fresno State.
Not Nazir Stackhouse, which has continued to be Binks 7th.
Oh, they take the guard at Mr. Irrelevant. That's fine.
That's like, I guess here's a follow-up question on the George Pickens thing that I feel like it's worthy of this conversation. Is there a player that you were either willing to trade off of the Chiefs or trade onto the Chiefs right now for the draft's sake? Because that is the thing we do always miss in draft talk. Not just
to the Chiefs.
To or from, either. Because this is the thing we consistently miss in draft talk for teams that does still occur on draft day. Or... in this weirdo time where there has not been a trade for a draft pick in the first round or these other ones as consistently. Like, is there somebody you do want to bring into the organization? Or you know, like, I don't think anyone here is going to say trade Trey Smith because I think that would be nuts. But, like, is there, you know, like, are you willing to let Joshua Williams go for a 6th? Are you willing, like, are there players you're willing to kind of, like, rob Peter to pay Paul, right? To kind of like adjust in and out of there, because that would be the follow-up to this. Who are the guys that you're willing to like ship off the team or bring back in from the team. Because I would do it for a fourth. I would do it for George Pickens. I don't think there really is.
I don't really think there is a player that I would be willing to do that on today's present roster.
A current player to give up a pick for, to get rid of for a pick.
The problem is on the Chiefs roster right now, there's not a lot of good, like, ship out candidates, right? If I asked you, unless you're willing to just, like, totally give up on a player, and I think that'd be crazy for the ones that you would never get the value back in return, right? Like Felix or some of these other guys where the corner room is where I would entertain it. Guy, like I mentioned Joshua Williams, I mentioned him for a reason. You draft another corner, you got Christian Fulton.
Why are you in the rush to trade a player that's been in this on this defense for a six round pick?
I don't think
pick.
He's very
like,
good.
But like for a six round pick, why?
I value that in Brett Veach's ability to draft players. I'd probably just take my chances there instead. I'll risk it with Nazi and these others. I'd probably move off of one of the corners this offseason, whether it be a cut or those things candidate is probably the range. But outside of that, other than I don't think you're ever getting anything for Sky Moore or Wanye. I'm just asking about the guys who like would hypothetically make sense, right? That you would have to make those. On the team is the far more interesting proposition. Pickens being one of those. I immediately, the text line's like, trade a fourth for Tyreek Hill. Like, you know, I mean, they already did that. That's crazy, right?
There might be one, and I don't know if people are going to like this or not. They're, given how good this part of
defensive lineman?
Given how good part of this draft is, what do you think you could get for George Karlaftis?
They can't afford to do that. Who the hell's getting after the quarterback in 2025?
He's saying you solve it in the draft and you just go right back to the well.
You go back to back right to the well.
I would think you could get a second. I don't even think you could recoup the value in which the pick he was taken.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you could maybe get a second and a I think you could get multiple day two and day three picks. I don't think you could make any of those equal to first.
I would just if we're going on this path, I would just say next year you tag and trade them next year then if you're trying to actually pull.
What if it
off.
Was like Karlaftis for a player like Hendrickson and you just decided it was a wash?
Oh,
what? And you give up picks. Yeah, I'm saying think, you give up picks in this scenario. Okay. I'm not saying they're a one for one. Although they might be based on age.
You're
overvaluing your guy. Hendrickson's 3-4 years older. You're saying you got to pay him more.
You're saying you give up Karlaftis and a third for Hendrickson.
Yeah.
And you have to pay Hendrickson.
And you got to pay Karlaftis. Either way, I'm paying
somebody.
One's
making a lot more than the other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but one's a far more productive player.
Sure.
Karlaftis is a really good player, but you know, he's not getting 17.5 sacks.
I would not do that trade if you're asking. I personally would not.
I don't think I would either. I'm trying to spitball here, throwing out some options. Now that I'm doing it. Somebody's saying trade Karlaftis to Dallas for Parsons. Same general energy.
Sure. Yeah.
But I
would like that as well. But
that's going to take more than that.
You'd have to give up Karlaftis and 31 to get.
Correct.
To get Micah Parsons.
But if Dallas took that, I would do that right, just to be clear.
Sure.
If Dallas said, we'll give you Micah Parsons and you give us George Karlaftis and pick 31, I would make that trade today. This second, this hour, this moment.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't. And like, that can't be good for a Dallas end. What are the odds they're agreeing to that if I'm immediately like, phew. You know.
I do really think that if you had to pick somebody in terms of that you would get maybe the most value on, I thought Bolton, I don't know what you get for Bolton, plus Spags likes him too much.
No.
Obviously, you're not getting rid of Chris Jones, Trey Smith. They still want to keep him, obviously protecting Mahomes. George Karlaftis seems like the guy that is the most star caliber player that if you told me I had to take somebody from the Chiefs and trade them, I would pick George Karlaftis just because of the value you would seemingly get back.
But you'd have to get back either a pick that you thought you were immediately taking a defensive lineman or a fellow defensive lineman in there. And Karlaftis has been a really good teammate, really good player.
Of course.
Like, there's just no reason. It's probably easier to find players to put on. There's not a running back you'd trade for instead of draft one. It just doesn't make sense. The players they would trade for this year, they can just draft and have 22-year-old player playing that position out of the second or third round.
The Chiefs trading for a player that's across 30 just is ass backwards from how they operate. Like, it just, you know, on a long-term deal, right? Like, they'll trade for a mid-season DeAndre Hopkins type where the contract expires at the end of the football season, which is what happened, and then he's now in Baltimore. Trading for a player in his 30s that's not homegrown and then giving an extension to him is completely backwards for how they operate as an organization. That's why I don't think they would ever do that with this current regime.
If they were going for a three-peat this year,
yeah, maybe it's different.
I wonder if they actually would say, you know what, we're willing to take on Trey Hendrickson, who's in that contract year, and just have him play.
Unless your name is Jones or Kelsey, they don't even like paying homegrown guys deals that cross over 30. You know what I mean?
You better be a future Chiefs Ring of Honor member. Otherwise, they're not real keen on it. Like they just let us, you know, yeah. They just let a safety walk. They've let two back-to-back safeties walk right around that threshold.
What do you guys make? I just saw our station Twitter account, our social team just put these out. The you guys have seen like the trend for the last month or so of these like AI action figure things.
Yeah.
The Cody and Gold action figure set just got put out, I guess.
Ooh. Okay.
What do you guys make of the respective one? They did one for each. So like, let's start with Drew. So Drew has a golf ball and golf club attached to it, of course. Football, green shoes, Bengals hoodie. Tattoos all over his arms and legs, and a KC like a Royals hat.
I like it.
Do you like that one?
I like it.
By the way, all these for some reason they all have everybody. Whether it was Fesco, Dusty, you, me, we all have the same body. Everybody's short and pudgy. I don't know what's going on with every single one of these action figures. Mine has a dog, a piece of candy, a grill, and money, and me in a Chiefs AFC Champions hoodie. That's accurate with the Apple Watch. Cody, you've got the UMKC, the Kansas City hoodie.
Okay.
You got like a notepad. A hat, cooking utensils, and
why
glasses.
Why do you have a backup pair
why
of glasses?
Why do you have two glasses?
Okay, first off,
you have two glasses.
Why
yeah.
notebook? Why two pair of glasses?
Notebook. You're a teacher. You're studious.
You know what? It's fine. It looks like a perfectly acceptable action figure with one big complaint here.
Okay.
I'm just going to say this. Seems awfully suspicious that the previous shows got their own day.
Oh, who cares?
Dedicated
who cares?
To okay. their own post.
Ours is a set.
And we got to be lumped together?
We're a team. It's that, a set. We're a know? Team, you know?
What the hell? We're just throwing in the towel now? Now we're just putting in...
Both of you make very valid points.
It is weird. It
why are there
really,
two pairs of glasses?
The two pair of glasses
thing,
I'm
confused.
Those
aren't even good cooking utensils.
Again, my favorite thing about the whole thing is everybody's the same body type on all the shows.
Why and do you have money?
I guess I'm assuming. I just think it's funny. Since Dusty was the first one they put out last week, every single one of us is short and pudgy. Every single one.
Yeah, they did go with a similar body type.
Now, Drew is the only one wearing short sleeves. He's wearing like the Belichick cutoff hoodie,
yeah.
But it's Bengals, and the fact that they have tattoos on the arms and the legs.
Hilarious. That's awesome.
Do you have a leg tattoo?
He's got one on his ankle.
I've got an ankle one, but not like this, this is like on your shin. No, I don't.
These are on your shin and your arm. You don't have tattoos all the way up your arm, though, do you?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I've got the one on the calf / ankle. Yeah.
There you go. Well, it's on our Twitter account and Instagram, by the way.
I'll be honest.
If you guys were wondering.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, mine, you know, other than, again, we all have the wrong body stature.
Job. He's got two different shoes, and they're in weird spots, and I've got an extra pair of glasses.
I
need more than one pair of glasses. I just wear one.
The only thing that I can think of with these neon or these shoes is it's like slime green, but it's like the puke emoji, you know? Mm-hmm. That kind of rubs me the wrong way, but I like it. I like it.
There you go.
Did you a favor by putting a grill there, you know?
I guess so.
You own a Traeger, so.
I do. Yeah, that's just a charcoal grill right there, you know? Get the job done.
That's what
well.
I use.
Yeah, nothing wrong with those at all. All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about the Royals road trip they just had and what this week means for their future. Next.